Hi everyone, you're listening to Faith Family Worship Center's podcast number 152 for December 12th, 2010. In this week's podcast, Pastor Archie is concluding his series on prayer with this week's message titled Victorious Prayer.
Then Ephesians 6, 10 to 17. Ephesians 6, 10 to 17. All right. Jesus said in the prayer, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Ephesians 6, starting with verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, and with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Father, we just praise you again as we look to your word. Pray, O God, that your anointing will just come throughout, Lord. Pray your throne of grace to your people. Anoint your servant, anoint your people, Father. Lord, we're totally dependent upon you, body, soul, and spirit. Without you, Lord, we cannot do anything. So, Lord, we're reminded again that it's not by might, nor by power, but your spirit. You say that in your word. So, Lord, we commit this time now of sharing your word to your people today. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you can be seated. I feel a little warm today, so I'm going to take off my coat. Hallelujah. So this morning, we are finishing our topic on learning to pray. And we have looked at several principles of prayer as we look at the Lord's Prayer. First of all, we start with praise and worship. When we say, "Father, what in heaven, hallowed be your name." Then we talk about the priority prayer, "Thy will be done, thy kingdom on earth as it's done in heaven." Then prayer for provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Then prayer for pardon. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. And today we're looking at verse 13, which is a prayer for what? Protection. And how we need protection today. And as Jesus told us to pray, "Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I want to emphasize on the second portion of this prayer now. And thank God for the note of victory. We're not focusing on the enemy today, but we are focusing on God. Because in God we have the victory. So the title of this message is Victorious Prayer. And as I said before, you can do nothing better than learn how to pray. Amen. If there's anything that you should do, is pray. Because prayer is the key to the blessings of God. And however, when we pray, many times we don't expect God to answer a prayer. And I'm guilty of that. Now, I have a story of a Sunday school teacher who told his Sunday school, his children in Sunday school, to write to a missionary and let the missionary know that they were praying for him. So the teacher told him, now the missionary is a very busy person, and he may not have time to write each of you back. So don't expect him to write you a letter back. So one girl wrote the missionary a letter and said something like this: Dear Mr. Brown, we're praying for you, but we don't expect an answer. And many times we do that. We're praying to God, but we don't expect an answer. Isn't it? But God says when we pray, we're to call upon Him. Amen. And God says, I will answer. Jeremiah 33, God says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not even know about. So when we're talking about protection, there is no better way than to ask the Lord to protect our families and to pray this prayer, Lord, protect us. Do not lead us in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And you know, as I know, that we are living in dangerous days today. We're living in such a day that we need the protection of God, especially our children. We need God's protection upon our children. And the streets and some of the cities of America today are filled with rapists, murderers, drug pushers, and even some of the schools are no longer safe for our kids. Right? They're infested with drugs and gangs. And as our kids go to college, what do they learn? Humanistic philosophies and the philosophies of this world that fill their minds and drain up their spirits. And no one there that statistics, I believe, says that 25% of our young people, when they go to college, leaves the church. It's not a good thing. Not a good thing. That's why we need to pray. We need the protection of God. We need the protection of God. So we need today to learn how to pray and get hold of God, because we have an enemy. And the enemy is the evil one. We are coming against the organized forces of hell. We have a deadly enemy. We are in spiritual warfare. And that warfare, first of all, is the warfare of prayer. Amen? Do you recognize that? Now, there are three things I would like to mention in this message today. Number one, recognize the sinister person of evil. Number two, realize the seductive power of evil. And number three, praise the Lord, rely on the sovereign protection of God from evil. Amen. So let's look at the first topic. So when we pray, deliver us from evil, we are speaking of Satan. From the evil one, we're speaking of Satan. He does not want me to preach this message today, because when I'm preaching this message, we are really exposing who he is. And I believe I got sick this week. Flu, because of my foolishness, don't have enough rest. But I believe it was an attack of the enemy. But praise God, I'm here this morning. Amen. So let's look at several things about Satan, about the enemy of our soul. Number one, his person. There's many verses that tell us about the person of the evil one. Let's look at some of them. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." It says there that we have an adversary. We have an enemy. And the enemy is Satan himself. Now, when there is a lion around this property, will you not be extra careful? Will you not be? And that's what God is telling us. Be careful. Open up your eyes. Be vigilant. Because your adversary is walking around about like a roaring lion. The bitterest enemy of God and his people is the devil, the evil one. Have you thought about his name? The Bible calls him Satan, which means adversary. Another name is he's the deceiver. He is the liar. He's called the murderer. He's called the accuser. He's called the prince. He's called the destroyer. And he's called the evil one. So just don't think that Satan is just in your mind. He's a real person. An aggressive, intelligent, cunning, destructive person. And one of his cleverest methods is to let people know that he doesn't exist. He doesn't exist. Well, some say the devil is in hell. No, he's not. He's not yet. That's what the Bible says. He's roaming around. He's walking around, right? One of these days, he will be thrown into hell. That's what the Bible says. But not yet. He's still here, attacking God and attacking God's people. Another verse here, Ephesians 6, chapter 12, verse 12, that we read already, says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." So the battle is not between two human beings. Your enemy is not the Democrats, if you're a Republican. Your enemy is not the Republicans, if you're a Democrat. Your enemy is not your wife. Excuse me. Your enemy is not your husband. Your enemy is not your mother-in-law or mother-in-law. All right? Your enemy is not your brother, not your sister, but your enemy is the evil one. Can you see that? Can you see that? Amen. So don't fight your mother-in-law or somebody else. Fight the evil one in prayer. Amen. So don't fight your sister. If your sister is behaving, Amen. You should fight the devil. Yes. Amen. Amen. In prayer. Amen. Because only God can change that person. Can change another person. Amen? So you spend your time on your knees before speaking to that person. Amen? Of course, forgiveness comes in. Okay. Number two, his position. We talk about his person, his position. Ephesians 6:12 says that he is a ruler of the darkness of this age. He's a ruler. He rules over the kingdoms of fallen spirits. When Satan rebelled against God and fell from heaven, myriads, multitudes of angels fell with him in rebellion. Ephesians 2, verse 2 says, he is called the prince of the power of the air. And even Jesus referred to Satan in John 12, 31 as the prince of this world. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 9 says that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. This world system is under the control of the evil one. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, it speaks of the devil and his angels. So just as God has angels, Satan also has his angels. And as the prince, he rules over the kingdom of this world. As a matter of fact, he offered to give those kingdoms to Jesus Christ when Jesus was accosted by Satan on the mountain of temptation. What did Satan say to him? I will give you all the kingdoms of the world and their glory as long as you worship, bow down before me. See that? And Jesus never disputed that Satan had the authority and the power. Of course, Jesus refused. He had to go first to the cross, die for our sins, resurrected, ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he's now there as our advocate, intercessor, and is ruling this world, sustaining this world, the Bible says, with the power of his word. Have you ever wondered that the stars are not colliding against other? That they're in their place? Why? Because God is sustaining the universe with the power of his word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you know what the devil is doing right now? He's moving the nations together like a checkers in a checkerboard toward the battle of Armageddon. He's preparing the scene. He's preparing the arena. In Revelation chapter 16, verse 13 to 14, the apostle John saw a vision, and he wanted to know what was happening. And this is what the Bible says, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, that's Satan, out of the mouth of the beast, that's Antichrist, out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs, which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. So that's what Satan is doing right now, preparing the arena for the conclusion of this world in the great battle of Armageddon. So that is the reason the Bible calls Satan the god of this world. And he has blinded unbelievers. Unbelievers don't believe God because they are blinded by Satan. That's what the Bible says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, whose minds the god of this age, that Satan, has blinded who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So don't be surprised that today we have a generation of people who are walking in darkness. Why? Because they have been blinded by the dark prince. Right? And his great desire is to be worshipped as this god of this age. And Satan has developed counterfeit Christianity. So the devil is not against religion. Actually, that's one of his chief methods, religion. So that's his position. Number three, his power. It is your folly to underestimate the power of the devil. That's the reason the Lord Jesus told us to pray, deliver us from the evil one. of course, is supernatural, but he's not all-powerful as God. And of course, the Bible speaks about the power of Satan to enslave people, to afflict people, to destroy people. That's why he told the Apostle Paul, he sent the Apostle Paul, he says, I'm sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. That was the mission of the Apostle Paul, to deliver people from darkness to light and turn them from the power of Satan to God. And the Gentiles are us. Do you know that? And thank God, we have been set free and we're here today. Amen. Worshiping the Lord. Amen. And that birth has been accomplished in my life and in your life. Many years ago, when I was growing up in the Ilocos Norte, I did not know what the Bible is all about. I went to church twice a year. That's it. Twice a year. When I was in high school. But my brother was converted. I mean, was saved. He brought me to prayer and he moved to church in Manila. And there I got saved, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. I was under the power of Satan. I was blinded. But now I can see. Now I am free. Hallelujah. My father-in-law was a babaero. What else? Sugalero. Huh? Lasingero. Policeman in Manila. But he was invited to a crusade in the 1950s, to cuts for the pickpocketers, to guard them. But you know what? When he was assigned as a policeman, he forgot about his job, looking for pickpockets, because his mind, his eyes was focused on the Word of God. Hallelujah. He got saved. He was delivered. He said to all his queridas, go away. He stopped drinking, and he went home that night. He told his wife, oh, I am so happy. The wife said, lasing na naman. But the story was set free. Amen. That's what the gospel does to us. Praise God. Deliver us from the power of Satan. Ephesians 6:12 again says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities, rulers, powers. Satan is a supernatural person. He has supernatural power. He's the dictator of the evil empire. That's his power. Now, his purpose, what is his purpose? Well, Satan is a traitor. He's open rebellion against Almighty God. The Bible says he was lifted with pride and decided he wanted to be like God. That's what the Bible says. His original name was Lucifer. That was once a beautiful name. Now it's an ugly name. But you know what Lucifer means? Light bearer, son of the morning. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 14 describes how he fell. It says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the furthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Five times said, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. That's pride. In contrast to Jesus, what did Jesus say? not my will, Father, but your will be done. Of course, no sooner that the judgment of God was upon him, he fell down from heaven with multitudes of angels, and Lucifer, the son of the morning, became Satan, the father of the night, and is still in rebellion today. Now, what is his plan? How does Satan work? What are his methods? His chief method is deception. Deception. Jesus said to the unsaved of his day in John chapter 8, verse 44, he says, You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand on the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he's a liar and the father of it. His motive is murder. His method is what? To lie. So he rules a kingdom of darkness and a kingdom of deception. Notice how the Bible describes his plans. Ephesians 6:11 says, "We have to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now the word wiles from the Greek word method, methodia. And so the devil has a method. He's methodical. He's a scheme, a plan. So the devil has a plan, a scheme to ruin your life and your family. Now Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11 says, "We're not ignorant of his devices." And Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 26 says, talks about escaping the snares of the devil. So all these words put together, wiles, devices, snares, and lies, these are all plans of the devil. And the Bible says that in the last days, there'll be great resurgence of demonic activities. Are you aware of that? In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 2, it says, "Now the Spirit says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with iron." That is the reason I believe that we are living in the last days, because we're seeing those things right now. And what are these activities? Number one, spiritualism. Increase in spiritualism. The New Age movement, right? All forms of fortune telling, contact with the dead, astrology. These are all of the devil. And some people are tantalized and they say, "Well, I just want to know my future." No, you are not. The devil does not know your future. And some other says, "Well, I just want to contact my departed loved ones." No, you are not. You're really contacting a demonic spirit when you do that. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into this world." So many false prophets are gone out into this world today. You see them on TV today. False prophets. So that's why we need to know the Word of God. That's what Brother Tony is talking about. You have to know the Word of God so that you should not be deceived. Amen? And of course, the Bible warns us not to be involved in any of these things. In any witchcraft, in any occult, in any astrology, don't get involved in any of these things, because that's opening in your life for the devil to come in. You know that? That's why the Bible warns us, Leviticus chapter 19:31. Give no reward to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 18, 10 to 11 says, let no one be found among you who practices divination, sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, casts spells, or is a medium or a spiritist, or who consults the dead. So all of these things, we should never, never get involved. Don't consult. Amen? So what is his plan? Spiritualism. What other demonic activity does we see prevalent today? Drug abuse. Why do you think we have an epidemic of drug abuse today? Because what? Of epidemic of demonic activity. Why do you think that there's so much problem in Mexico today? Because of drugs. Drugs. They're trying to bring drugs to America. Drug abuse. The Bible says in the last days there'll be plethora of drug abuse. Revelation 9:21 says, and they did not repent of their murders, their sorceries, sexual immoralities, and their thefts. Four, the big four of sins will be increase in the last days. What are these? Murders, sorceries, immorality, and thefts. The big fours in the last days. Huh? You see that in the movies? What is sorcery? It comes from the word pharmakia, from which Sister Julia this came from. Pharmacy. All right? The same word, pharmakia, the root word of sorcery. Because the word sorcery really means enchanter with drugs. In sorcery, the use of drugs is generally accompanied by incantations and appealing to occult powers. That's what sorcery is. And the devil uses drugs to destroy people's minds. And sorcery has been used with the use of potions to steal people's minds. So what is drug abuse? Instant heaven that leads to an everlasting hell. I've seen young people destroy their mind because of drugs. Wasted lives. God forbid. That's why we need protection for our children. Amen. Another thing is false doctrine. Another method used by the devil to deceive people is false doctrine. It says here that I read already, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter time some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Satan uses religion. Somebody said, if you want to look for the devil, never fail to look at the pulpit. Because the Bible says, speaking of ministers of Satan, masquerading as ministers of righteousness. Righteousness. It also speaks about what? Sacrifices to demons. The Bible also speaks of the synagogue of Satan. So, increase in false doctrine in these last days. But getting to a more popular area where the devil can use his influence is, of course, the entertainment industry, the media, right? Hollywood, Las Vegas, where else? City of Chicago. Because the devil is not only like a roaring lion. The Bible says he has turned himself into an angel of light. One who allures you. One who entices you. And he has used the entertainment industry to do that. And Satan has used the media, entertainment industry, and the internet to allure people to commit all kinds of wickedness and immorality to satisfy their desires and has reached the bottom of the garbage and is, of course, sickening to many of us. So, first of all, recognize the sinister, wicked person of evil, the Satan. He's your adversary. You have an enemy. That's why you need to prepare. You need to know his tactics so that you can prepare, protect yourself and your family. And you know how to overcome him. Amen. That's why Jesus says, deliver us from the evil one. It starts with that. Deliver us from the evil one. All right, number two. Realize the seductive power of evil. You say, Pastor Archie, I don't have a problem with the devil. Have you heard about people like that? Huh? They kid. Oh, sitaning na money. They call. I mean, you don't joke with the devil, right? Don't brag about it. Jesus didn't brag about it. He met him. He dealt with him. So, if you have never met the devil, you and the devil are going in the right, same direction. So one of his tactics is that he wants to let you realize that he doesn't exist. Right? So if you have not met the devil, you are going into the same direction. However, if you turn around, repent, and turn over your life to God, then you will meet each other. Instead of colluding with him, you'll be in collision. And then you will learn how to pray. Deliver me from the evil one. Now, when do you pray for this prayer? When do you pray this prayer? It should be prayed every morning, first time in the morning. You see, in the Lord's Prayer, we don't pray, give us this daily bread in the evening or at the end of the day when the day is over, right? In the same way, when we pray, deliver us from the evil one, you should pray it in the morning. Because what's wrong with many of us, including me, is this. We wake up in the morning. Everything is doing fine. We jump out of bed, right? We have a breakfast. We read a little newspaper, maybe, without reading the Word of God. We go to work. So everything is doing fine. We think we have made it. So on the way home, what happens? The devil will tempt us and we fail. We come to the end of the day and we pray, oh God, forgive me. Forgive me as I forgive my debtors. Oh God, forgive me, forgive me. Well, thank God, God is merciful. Right? He's always forgiving and gracious. And he forgives us. Yet we keep falling and falling, then ask forgiveness and forgiveness again and again. And many of us have done that thousands of times. Right? Why? Because we have not really learned how to pray this prayer. We have learned to pray, Lord, forgive us, but we did not learn how to pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from the evil one. So the best way to deal with sin in your life is not at the end of the day, but at the beginning of the day to prevent it. Amen? So this prayer is not to lock the night, but to open up the morning so that you can face every situation in your life. So as we pray, Lord, give us our daily bread, we should also pray, Lord, protect us, deliver us from the evil one. That's why we need to pray. We need to pray. See, the seductive power of the devil is that he wants us to realize that he does not exist. Then he wants us to realize that it's okay not to pray. Right? I heard of an illustration of a pastor about his story of Lucifer and his demons were having a meeting. And they asked, what can we do to destroy Christians or to render them weak and powerless? Lucifer said, keep them from praying, because if they don't pray, we beat them all the time. But if they pray, they beat us all the time. So there is not a failure in your life. I believe that is not a prayer failure. You believe that? And you wonder why you fail so much. So ask yourself, what is my prayer life? Do I pray every day? When I ask you, what is your prayer life? There are four fingers pointing to me. What is my prayer life? Right? No wonder we fail. Because we don't pray. The average pastor or worker prays 5 minutes a day. Shame on us. So, illustration in the Bible, Matthew chapter 26, verse 40 to 41. Jesus says, the Bible says, then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. You know, when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, agonizing in prayer, the Bible says that even his sweats were like blood. And you know what, when he got up from prayer, he says here, Peter, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Why? Because the disciples were sleeping. Watch and pray, lest you enter in temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So, that's why we are as a church people. Instead of praying, we are sleeping. Instead of praying, we are what? Fill the blanks, watching TV. What else? Facebook. Shopping. Ano pa? Huh? Fill in the blanks now. We're all guilty, including me. Right? No wonder we don't have an impact. Wala tayong fruit. We don't have any power. Lord, forgive us. Amen. And no wonder we're weak and powerless against the onslaught of the devil. But praise God, God is merciful. And this prayer ends with a note of victory. Rely on the sovereign protection from evil. Matthew 6:13 says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. While I've spoken about Satan this morning, I don't want you to focus on his power, on his influence. I want you to focus on Jesus. Amen. And the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. If you look at the Bible, there are three cords that runs through the Bible. Three cords. The black cord. Black cord or the dark cord. Dark cord. of Satan's rebellion. Another cord that runs through the Bible is what? The crimson cord of redemption for the life of Jesus. And another cord is the golden cord about the kingdom of God and Christ. Amen? We have to realize that the battle is not the Lord's. We have to realize that the battle is not ours, but it's the Lord. Amen. And there is victory in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. Amen. Hey, Dr. Lalosha, praise the Lord. My friend, Dr. Aloysius, praise the Lord, been praying for him, he's here. He was sick of Lyme's disease, but praise God, he's here with us. Amen? Amen? So what I was saying here is that God wants us to be victorious. Amen? Amen. And as Paul says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Says the whole armor of God. Now what is the whole armor of God? It's Jesus himself. Now let's look at this armor of God again. It says here in starting with verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that when you take your stand against the devil's schemes, for our struggle is not flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God so that when the day of evil, as I was talking to you already, we are in the evil times now. When the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. You know, it's talking about a Roman soldier here. I haven't started this whole thing yet. But, you know, the Roman soldier has a buckle where his weapons are there. And the first weapon here mentioned is what? The belt of truth. What is truth? The Word of God? Jesus said, sanctify them by their truth. That's the word of God. And what is truth? Who is the truth? Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So if you put on Jesus, you have the truth. You're wearing the belt of truth. And what does the Bible say? The truth shall set you free. This truth will set your mind from error. Amen. Jesus, if you want Jesus, you have the truth. It says here, what else? The belt of truth buckled against you, about breastplate of righteousness. What is the breastplate used for? Protect your heart, the most important part of your body. You don't realize how important your heart is. You know that? your heart stop beating, you're gone. You are gone. That's why the breastplate of righteousness. What is our protection against the attacks of the devil, against the accuse of the devil? The Bible says the devil is the accuser of the brethren. What is our weapon against that? What? The righteousness of God. I don't have my own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus is already in me. That's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. What does it say here? That, let me read that to you. 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him too, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him he might become the righteousness of God. God took our sin and put them on Jesus, and the righteousness of Jesus was put upon us. So when the righteousness of Jesus is upon us, what does it mean? The devil has no cause to accuse us. Amen? Amen? Yes. Of course, we can stand in the presence of God. Not because of our own righteousness, but of his righteousness. So if you put on the breastplate of righteousness, you put on Jesus. Amen. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Again, the gospel of peace. When you have the gospel of peace, you're ready, you're able to testify, you're able to bring peace to a certain situation where there is what? Trouble, confusion. Why? Because you have Jesus, right? Who is the Prince of Peace, right? What else? Shield of faith. It says here, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one again. Flaming arrows of the evil one. All the plans that you're talking about a while ago, about his schemes, his plans, when you have faith, all these arrows that comes against you will just bounce back. Amen? Bounce back. Praise God. That's why we need faith. And where does faith come? The Word of God. The Bible says, faith comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. Where else? From the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. So when you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you will have faith. Amen. All right? That's why the Bible says, when you have faith, nothing is impossible with those who believe. Right? Amen. When you have faith, you can speak to that mountain, and that mountain will what? Move. Faith. Then what? The helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation. Which talks about our mind. Mind. God wants to protect our minds with the helmet of salvation. And of course, when we have Jesus Christ, we are wearing that helmet of salvation because he is the author of our salvation. He gave us salvation. Then it says here, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The only offensive weapon here is the what? Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And Word of God is the one that we can go and attack, right? And of course, another weapon that's offensive here is prayer. That's why Paul says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. See, we're going back to prayer again. That's why we need to pray. Amen? Amen. So when you put on Jesus, you are putting the whole armor of God. That's why I have a good news for you. You don't have to fear the devil. Amen? You don't have to faint. You don't have to fail. You don't have to flee. You can stand up strong in the mighty power of the Lord. Because you have these weapons. Not only defensive weapons, offensive weapons. We have Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So what is the ground of our victory? The ground of our victory is God Himself. That's why I say, His is the kingdom. It means absolute authority. Somebody says, His kingdom cannot fail. He rules on earth and heaven. The keys of death and hell to our Lord Jesus given. You believe that? Satan is powerful, but he is not all powerful. Satan is ruling a doomed domain. He's sailing a sinking ship. Second, his is the power. Genesis 18, verse 14. Ask, is anything too hard for the Lord? You know, when Sarah was questioning the Lord about, he was 90 years old, and he was laughing in the tent when God was telling Abraham about that the following year she will bear a child. And God said to Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? Jeremiah 32, verse 17 says, Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. What a mighty God we serve. Amen? Amen. We can overcome the devil because the Bible says, greater is he who is in you, in me, than he that is in the world. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says, For his purpose the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's why the Bible says that one of these days, or on the cross, I mean, you can crush the head of Satan, right? And then, of course, it concludes, His is the glory. You want your prayers answered? Here is a secret to answered prayer. Yours is the glory. Lord, yours is the glory. Jesus says in John 14, 13, Whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So when your reason for asking is the same as His reason for answering, and what is that? For His glory. Then be sure that your prayers will be answered. Amen? Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So that is God's plan for you and your family in these last days. To protect you, your life, your future. To protect your family. Because I said, we are living in evil days. Evil days. So we have to learn how to pray this prayer. God, lead me, lest I fall into temptation. Deliver me from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So when we start this series, it starts with what? Our Father, right? And it ends with what? The king, kingdom. Our Father, yours is the kingdom. A Father who can hear me, a Father who loves me, who wants a supply of all of my needs, a King who can supply, I mean, who can strengthen me, a king who can answer me. Praise God. And of course, there is sympathy, there is sovereignty there. So thank God for this, the Lord's Prayer. And I enjoyed, as I have been sharing this, and I pray that you have enjoyed also. Amen. Amen. So as we close this this message, we have a mighty God.
Amen.
We have an enemy, but the enemy is under our feet, as the Bible says, because we are in the army of God. We belong to God, who is our protector, who is our Savior, who is our righteousness, who is our salvation. So this morning, He loves you so much that He sent Jesus Christ into this world to die for our sins, to forgive us, and not only that, but to destroy the works of the devil. And the devil is already a defeated foe. You know that? The only authority that he has over your life is what you allow him to do. That's why the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. And you can stand in the mighty power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we stand up? Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Can I have the worship team come and lead us in worship as we close this morning? Hallelujah, Lord. Do you need Jesus this morning? While heads are bowed, do you have a need this morning? You need Jesus? The greatest need that all of us is to need to receive His forgiveness, need to be saved. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, just open up your heart and surrender your life and say, Lord, I open up my heart to you. Surrender my life to you. Forgive me of my sins. I receive you into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you.
And that was Pastor Archie on his sermon titled Victorious Prayer. If you would like to join us for our Sunday service, our address is 6535 West Berry Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Our telephone number is 773-888-FFWC. That's 3392. You can reach us online at ffwcchicago.com. And you can reach us by email at contactus@ffwcchicago.com. Until next time, take care and God bless. Bye.